It's Wrecking Ball Radio. This is Stavinsden.
Hey, everybody. Thank you guys for hanging out with us. It's been a fun part one. We're going to do part two of Davinson. Now, I don't know if Joe heard this or not, but Joe, do you remember? I'm sure you've seen it. Like, the meme, like, right after Trump won the presidency and there was the resist pussy hat protests. I think that's where it came from. There was this, like, older woman wearing like a pink hat. I want to say she was like in a gray coat or something, but she looked like she was crying. Like she had this like really expressive face that whenever like a Trumpster would want to get like back at a liberal, they'd post this and call him a snowflake. Do you remember what meme I'm talking
right.
about?
Uh-huh.
You know, yes. Well, I found the answer to that. I found the answer to that in a audio form. It's actually a video, which I posted on my personal page, which I will post on the Davinsden page later, just because it's funny and sad at the same time, to be honest with you. Like a lot of this shit is. But this is a woman, the audio of a woman reacting very, very badly to the defeat of our 45th president. She did not take that well. So we will listen to that and enjoy that, and then we will talk about how some QAnoners and some Proud Boys are no longer fans of Donald Trump.
Trump, if you see this, please save us. I don't even see our American flag anymore. Biden's talking with some kind of crazy flag. This is America. This is our land. Please, President Trump. Please, please, I hope you have a plan. God, please save us. Save us from the devil, please. Y'all are about to have a panic attack. This is our country. Our country. This is awful. God, please save us, please.
The poor woman was having to deal with an election change. No, nobody was torturing her. She was not going through war to torture. Nobody was smacking her around. She was not being held captive by anybody and asking for Donald Trump to send a SWAT team to save her. This was over the election. So, once again, when you think liberals are a bunch of outrageous pussies, the conservatives say, hold my hat, we got our own side. Just goes to show.
There's nuts on either. There's
yes!
nuts on either side.
Absolutely.
You're gonna get nuts on either side.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, you know, I can't sit here. Oh, not on my, you know, not on the road. No, it's the radical fringe of every side.
Well, the difference is the radical fringe of the right has now moved into the mainstream, which is disconcerting. When you got QAnoners taking over state Republican campaigns and stuff, it's a problem. But yeah, we've always said there's nuts on all sides. That was in the New York Post. Listen, I feel bad for anybody who's going through that much emotional distress, like on a human level. I feel bad. And like when people lose jobs or when people become persecuted when a new administration comes in or protections are lost, I feel bad for them on a human level. But for the average person, like the three of us, three middle-aged white people, there's going to be some stuff we like, some stuff we don't like. None of the three of us should really break. We're all relatively healthy. None of the three of us should break into tears when a new administration comes in. As well adjusted adult Americans who are middle class, upper middle class, middle class, lower middle class, whatever you want. We're all middle class on some level. None of us should have that type of reaction. You know, listen. Did I want Donald Trump to win? No. I didn't cry about it, though. I was upset about it. I expressed that. I didn't cry, and I didn't ask for Hillary Clinton, of all people, to come and save me. I didn't ask for Barack Obama to come and save me. I mean, I don't know what she expected. Does she expect Donald Trump to stop golfing and to come and save her? I don't know what she wants. I don't know what she wants him to do. So on a human level, I feel bad that she's going through this.
You got to remember something. Those nuts on either side have always been around.
Yes.
He just never had a camera phone.
No, you're right.
You didn't see as much of them.
I was having this conversation on friend of the show Sean Shanks' Facebook page. He's toured, and he was like talking about, you know, silencing voices, like, you know, if you've ever been silenced. And now that somebody else is being silenced, you're okay with it. That's not good. So I you know, something like to that effect. And I took the contrarian point of view. I said, you know what? That's a very valid point in countries that don't have the freedoms that we have, because there is a lot of silencing in voices. But I would contend, as I've often stated on our show, is now we have too many people having voices. Now everybody has a voice. So as Joe pointed out, we've always had the lunatic fringe. And I said in this example on his Facebook page, there was always the guy screaming on the corner of whatever the political affiliation, religious affiliation.
Now he's got a YouTube page.
Yes. Now he posts on Facebook. Now he has a blog. Now he's the host of a show on a major network. So now other crazies go, oh, well, that makes sense. So then pretty soon you get more crazies banding together because they're on these platforms that, you know, scientists and nuts are on the same platform. So that's the problem. We have too many voices now. So we are drowning in the fact that everybody has a say. That is what's happened to our democracy. And, you know, I know Joe and I talked about this last week about re-education. And, you know, I said, Joe, listen, I don't want any ideology having re-education, you know, because he was concerned, like, AOC was, like, putting out some re-education thing. I don't want anybody, even if it's AOC's ideology, I don't want anybody with an ideological re-education. That's not America. That's not good. And we probably can't do it with adults, but we really do need to go back to it in the schools, because I was taught it, critical thinking. How to determine what is a piece of fact, what is factual writing, and what is opinion writing, and what is fantasy? Because we can't do that anymore. Americans no longer have that ability. And I was taught it. I don't know if everybody was taught it, but I certainly hope in lieu of what we've seen happen to our democracy, we make that a stronger emphasis in our schools. Because
here's the deal. Basically, before all social media and stuff like that, I mentioned this before, when I was a kid, my mom really didn't talk about politics, you know, discuss a little bit with me, but she would discuss it with my grandmother. And then the only time a bunch of people would discuss politics would be at the holiday table, Easter, Thanksgiving, or whatever. And after that, you never heard anything. Number two is that you used to get your media from the news. There was no cable news network back then. It was just the 6 o'clock newscast. And then you would get it from the newspaper. Right. And you had just that. Okay? And essentially, the news goes on, and the news will tell you and told you then what the story was and both sides of the story. The newspaper would do the same thing. Okay? That's gone. Basically, everybody's in their own camp. And add social media to that. So the speed that you're getting your media, you're getting instantaneously, and I discussed it in my act where you really can't make up your mind and really think it over because it comes so quick. So that's why you get a lot of people
I agree with a lot of what you're saying, but you're taking out the personal responsibility. We all have we all get inundated with the same shit. Now, if you don't have time to research it, that so be it. I understand that. We're all very busy. However, if you don't have time to research it, don't go spouting off that it's true or not. You know, just go, okay, then that's fine. But then to you know, amplify it and swear to God and believe this shit about it. So there I lose the sympathy. Here's the good thing, though. I have been on Facebook since, I guess, the Obama administration. So I guess that was 2009. So I wasn't on Facebook for the Bush administration. So now I've been on Facebook for parts of three administrations. I have now gotten to the point where the vast majority of people that are posting about shit, I can just ignore because they're hypocrites and morons. Joe is one of the only is one of the few people I still engage in, and I said it at the top during the break because I never know where Joe's going to come out, and I like that about Joe. And I don't think Joe knows where I'm going to come out on certain things.
Well, I'll give you. It's funny because basically looking at stuff, you put out your comments on the Keystone Pipeline. We're not going to discuss. We're not going to go into it. But it's just an overview on what you're discussing right now. I disagree with your position on it. Now, instead of jumping on and saying, "Oh, you're wrong" and stuff like that, I actually researched it and had some points. I didn't have a chance to do it and stuff like that. That might remain to be seen if I get a chance to do it. But you got to research the points and at least dealing with you, you got to research your points and pick your position on the topic and counter it.
I'll really briefly overview the pipeline. So Obama didn't want the pipeline, so he said no under executive order. There was concerns by the Native Americans and the environmentalists. Then a couple of years into Trump's administration, Trump approved the pipeline. It happens with executive orders. Then as soon as Biden gets in, he says nay, nay to the pipeline. This is what happens with executive orders. This is what happens when nobody can fucking legislate with Congress and the Senate and the executive branch. Nobody can get their heads together. So you get these executive orders, so you get a country that gets whiplash. So as a citizen, you just have to roll your eyes and go, I guess this is what it is now until it's not. Now, the big post going around is that Biden cost 11,000 jobs. I did some research on it real briefly. It's around 1,000 jobs. Most of them are temporary. Losing any jobs sucks. And now if I was going to critique it, I would say I understand why you did this to Biden. I understand his position on it because you still have those environmental concerns. You still have those grievances from the natives. My only critique of it would be, do you want to do it now? Do you want to do it in the middle of a pandemic when we have so many people unemployed? Is now really the time to do it, or do you want to wait until we get a little bit past this pandemic and the economy kicks in and it's easier to find people jobs? Fine. That's being my only critique of people was, and I've seen these things, because of Donald Trump's political positions with tariffs and whatnot, we lost a lot of renewable energy jobs. Again, fine. That's his position. He won the election. He gets to make the policy. This is what happens when you don't have laws and shit, when you just have executive orders. And it wound up being like 20 or 30,000 jobs, and this was from Forbes. Hardly a left-wing rag. My only point was, and to go back to the point they were saying, is these same people that are complaining about the Biden pipeline decision didn't say a word about those decisions. So that's why I can just ignore people, because I know they're just partisan hacks, and I no longer waste my time with it. That's all.
Well, and like I said, I don't want to get into it. Basically, you go, well, you know, it's bullshit that they did that, and blah, blah, blah. That's not an argument. What I did was I started to do research, and unfortunately, I had to get back to work, and I also wanted to do it. I wish I looked at it earlier in my lunch hour because I was just going and stuff, and I had to do our plugs, and I didn't have the chance. But for the thing about it is that people don't look into the backstory.
Correct.
Okay. And like I said, I disagree with your point. We're not going to get into it because I do have the facts, but I would have counted with some facts for debate. People don't do that. People are too busy. Like I said, I feel. Like an idiot, basically from over the summer, when I told you that I forgot what the argument was, but the guy made a comment, and I'm like, well, blame it on that's part of the Obama administration, you know, and then I got caught up in my day, and I never went back, and I felt bad because I didn't complete what I wanted to do, and I sounded like one of those people. Oh, it's Obama. And I got pissed off because that's not how I work, and I don't want the guy to think that was just my answer. It was a more in-depth answer, but I was so damn busy that week, and I never had a chance to sit and, you know, give a dissertation on my thoughts.
There's only one time I can remember where I really had to sink my fangs into you because you came at me with some utter nonsense where I expected you to know better. It was with Greta Thunberg, and you posted this link to this like clearly partisan bullshit that you know better. You know would not fly because you could tell it's an opinion piece. Just like I wouldn't come at something stating as facts, say from Oh, well, Jezebel, for instance. You know Jezebel is coming from a far-left thing. Like, I would have to say, before I go in, listen, I know this is a far-left position. Here are the points that I want to discuss about. That's the only time. No, usually you're very good about it. Usually,
I can't pinpoint that. However, my whole opinion on her, I did look into her backstory.
No, that wasn't it. You were arguing against climate change, and you had some completely right-wing blog bullshit that wouldn't fly, which I picked apart. So it wasn't. I know you don't like her. I don't give a shit whether you like her or not. I really don't care one way or the other. But my point was, usually you're pretty good, if we get into a conversation, to at least have some basis of knowledge to discuss it, which is why I never know how you're going to come out. But that being said, most people I scroll right past. I can't anymore.
Look, sometimes we get caught too. I mean, how many times, literally, it happened, I think maybe two or three times. Once, right before we were going to air, I go, dude, did you see that thing on the internet? That story's bullshit. You're telling me now? Yeah, it's bullshit.
Yeah, but at least we're not doing it. I didn't go, okay, well, we're going to fucking do it anyway. We go, all right, we're going to have to do something else. That's the difference. Even when we do our countdown shows, we got our Valentine's Day show coming out. Up, they have to be true stories.
But what I'm saying is that even we get caught up in it when it's in show prep. You know, we do the show prep on Friday. We go live on Tuesday. But even so, you know, Monday morning, man, it's bullshit. So that, you know, it got by us.
It happens.
Jesus Christ. 3 or 4 days, you know?
No, like Pip, right. Pip showed me something, I think, for Drunks in the News a few months back. She sent me a story, which was a fantastic story. It was just complete bullshit. It happens. That's fine. But it
turned out to not be true, and I was, like, so disappointed. But it was like, you know, every once in a while I throw Davin a link and go, look at this, you know?
That's fine. And, but we're not purposefully ignorant. The people are purposefully ignorant, and they spout it off, and the vitriol. I mean, I don't know who they're posting. Like, I always feel like they're shouting at me when they're you live. I'm like, dude, you were angry under Obama. You were angry 4 years under Trump. You're angry and we're not even a week into Biden. Are you ever happy? Like, I feel better about things right now. I was upset under Trump. You would expect that out of me. But even under Trump, I wasn't screaming all the time. Write a fucking joke about this shit once in a while, please. These people.
Well, there's some people who are just angry. Angry, and they're looking for reasons why they're angry.
And Joe,
but also, like you said, their arguments don't hold up. The thing that they really need, two things that they need to teach in school, because every American needs them. First of all, they should go back to teaching civics, because people do not understand how the government works. Sometimes we found under the last administration that the government didn't understand how the government worked. But the other thing is logic, because that's, you're saying, I couldn't spit it out. You know, because it's almost like breaking down verbal arguments and proofs into almost like math. You know, it's like, well, you have this, and you have that. That always equals that. And so, you know, you have this fact plus this bullshit, so now you made it bullshit. You know, it's they call them tautologies. I studied logic briefly, and it was really instructive for life, you know? I mean, I'm a big a proponent of critical thinking, and actually, I taught English literature, and a lot of that has to do with taking apart storylines and taking apart characters and seeing who they really are. And it does... kids don't see it sometimes, but it does really lend itself to life skills. And it's like that, more of that needs to be taught, because if people can think critically, they understand logic, they understand what the government is supposed to do for you and what you're supposed to do for the government, then we would have I think, much more constructive arguments amongst each other critically. But right now we have a government where they're like, the Republicans are daddy and the Democrats are mommy, and they're having a brutal divorce, and all they do is try to nag each other, and we the citizens are the kids, and the parents do nothing except every once in a while they throw us a tax break and go, here's your toy! You aren't I the better parent? Fuck you both!
I'm running
You're
away
useless.
To
Canada.
Well, this is going to tie in with what you're saying and lead us nicely to where I want to go. So I posted something, and Joe actually gave it a like on my social media. The guy who raided the Capitol, who dressed in animal pelts and the helmet and everything, that fucking clown. So they're going, as a lot of these people are, they're blaming Donald Trump. And you see it in real time. You know, Donald Trump told us to be there, and that's going to tie in nicely with what we're saying. But I just posted, you know, Donald Trump said a lot of things, a lot of ridiculous things. He never said, dress between the love child of Davy Crockett and Hagar the Horrible. Sometimes you have to look in the mirror and go, you know what, I'm a moron, and I make bad decisions. Sometimes you got to own your shit. Okay. So I posted just a little funny thing. Joe gave it a like. Most people laughed at it, blah, blah, blah. It wasn't really up for a political debate. It's just like sometimes you're a fucking goof and you got to own that shit. So then a mutual friend of Joe and mine, a comedian, Plungerhead, I don't know if Joe saw the thread, but he should know that reference, said, this wasn't a Trumpster. I'm like, well, every indication is he's saying he was, the lawyer's saying he was, and he's like, but I was there. And I'm just like, what does you being there have to do with this person who you've never met motivation? I mean, so it's a complete breakdown in critical and logical thinking. It's like, I don't want this to be my team, and because I was there, it couldn't possibly be why he and his lawyer said it was, because I know better and you're wrong. I'm like, and like, he got eviscerated on there because the thinking was so flawed. Like if you're going to tell me he's given interviews, you know, from 5 years ago where he says he hates Donald Trump and, you know, he's a big leftist, blah, 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 and the real interviews, okay, now you've piqued my interest. Now I need to look at this. Fine. But if you say, well, because I was there, nay, nay. I know plenty of people who go to sporting events that don't know shit about the game they're watching. It just means you were there. It doesn't mean anything else.
Well, I mean, if you were there, you were protesting, but he was probably peaceful protesting. This other guy was not, you know?
Right, no, but Joe, but just to assume the motivation of somebody, like, I know his motivation because I was there. That's like saying, you know what? I know what Noah Syndergaard had for lunch because I was there. What? You just bought tickets to a Mets game. How do you know what Noah Syndergaard had for lunch? Well, I was there, fucker. Yeah, but this is what he tweeted. He said he had, like, a tuna sandwich. No, no, that's a lie. I was there. He had a steak for lunch. No, what? I mean, it's ludicrous. So I can't take these people seriously anymore, which leads us nicely into QAnon, which thankfully Joe never fell for. I think we actually made Joe hep to QAnon. I think a couple months ago, Joe had never even heard of QAnon until we brought it up on this show, thankfully.
I thought it was like an alcoholic place.
It'd be better if it was. QAnon is fan fiction. QAnon, for the uninitiated, put out this conspiracy theory that all, like, Democrats and, like, movie actors like Tom Hanks and whatnot are part of this left-wing cabal that worship Satan and are pedophiles and they eat children. Also, Donald Trump was placed here to bring it all down. And Q is on the inside reporting it. And all hail Donald Trump. It's fan fiction. It's like if you watch a lot of Marvel movies or read the comic books, go, no, no, I don't need the police. I'm just going to call for Iron Man. I'll be good, thank you. Nay, nay. Nay, nay. Iron Man is not coming. Very entertaining. Just don't believe it's true. But no, but they made a movie and he was in New York. So I'm okay. No, that's fiction, stupid. QAnon was fiction. It was a cult. We'll get into that. People believed it. But that was the premise. Donald Trump was on the inside going to bring down this whole thing. And somebody astutely pointed out, a comedian, Ken Kranz, who actually posts a lot of funny things. He said, well, if this was all true, wouldn't Donald Trump have run on that? You know, that's an excellent point. You know what? If your opponents are Satan-worshipping pedophiles who eat babies, I would bring that up in the debate.
That might go in your favor if they actually do.
Listen, you don't like my policy in Russia, but at least I'm not eating junior like that guy over there. I mean, listen, you're going to win in a landslide. Most of Americans don't want Satan-worshipping pedophiles who eat babies to be their president. Donald Trump should have run on that. Well, I know you animal you, but most Americans don't. Well, I don't really like Donald Trump's position on renewable energy. Yeah, but he's not eating babies like that guy over there. All right, you raise a good point. You know what? We don't need solar. Let's drill baby drill.
That's the thing where they feel like, you know, that Trump let them down. They're stupid.
Yes.
They're stupid.
All right, let me get into these stories here. So the premise of these two stories is QAnon has turned on, some members of QAnon have turned on Donald Trump, and some members of the Proud Boys have turned on Donald Trump. And as I said from the top, I'm not going to get into whether the Proud Boys are a hate group with Joe or not tonight. Not going to do it. Joe knows the guy who started it. You know, whatever. I'm not going to get into that argument with him. Not going to do it tonight. So forget about that. We'll just discuss how they feel and what's going on. Fair? Good?
Good. Yeah.
Okay. So the QAnon movement was thrown into crisis this week when President Biden peacefully entered the White House rather than be crushed by a long-promised storm and Great Awakening. Ooh, I like this. I feel like this is going to be the final episode, the storm and the Great Awakening. I feel like this is going to be good. It's obvious now we've been had. No plan, no cue, nothing. One now deflated follower wrote after the inauguration in a QAnon channel on Telegram with 18,400 members. This is from the New York Post, by the way, which is a right-wing rag. So these are the post words. The crackpot QAnon conspiracy theory has long assumed that President Donald Trump, who many believe is the enigmatic Q himself, would emerge triumphant after overthrowing a deep state network of government leaders, including a cabal of Satan-worshipping pedophiles, and Pip was in their corner. She's on record for that. And right up until Biden took office Wednesday, many conspiracy theorists still were confident that Trump would take over the emergency broadcast system, which, by the way, they've never taken over. Even under 9/11, they were on the regular news. This emergency broadcast system is fakakta. It's just to fucking interrupt my fucking television watching. We now need to do a test of the emergency broadcast system. I can't even change channels! I can't even watch the DVR! I'll tell you what, Joe, if Donald Trump would have run on ending the emergency broadcast system, he might have gotten my vote, because it's a waste of fucking
time. And if he really wanted to affect it, he wouldn't, because he'd do that shit late at night during manic. Don't fuck with it.
It's always on when I don't want it to
be. 4 in the morning.
So they wanted him to declare martial law, stay in office, and arrest prominent Democrats. One pro-Trump crusader who fervently promotes QAnon online proudly declared Monday that the inauguration would be the biggest thing we've ever seen in the history of the United States. But rather than the much-promised storm, Biden's inauguration went off without a hitch, although Joe had issues with Lady Gaga's outfit. And Trump quietly flew off to Florida, leaving behind an apparently kind note for his successor. By the way, Joe was making jokes. By the way, Lady Gaga fucking nailed it again. Joe was making jokes about her outfit as a comedian want to do, so I had no issue with that. But it's funny because Joe is always coming out against Trump and against the Democrats. People were attacking Joe's friends on his page were attacking Joe for shitting on Lady Gaga during Biden's inauguration.
But you know what? People don't listen because I think she's an amazing talent. I even prep, but I go, what's with the big gold bird? And I actually did it. I did a joke. I used it all weekend long. I go, you look like a Trans Am. I go, all she needed was Burt Reynolds on her and Jackie Gleason chasing her, you know?
No, but I just think it was funny that people, they wanted to fucking go after you because you made it. Because Joe must hate this, so we're going to go after it. It wasn't even a political joke.
And I prepped, and the funny thing is, when she did the Super Bowl, people were busting their balls during the Super Bowl. And you know what? I did a joke on my act. I go, you jump out of the helicopter, jump down, sing three songs, say hello to your mom, jump on a fucking piano, play another two songs, and then run around. You know, like, I mean, shit me.
No, she's amazing.
Yeah, and like I said, I prefaced it that she is an absolute amazing talent. She did a phenomenal job with that song.
Yeah,
but that thing, I mean, it was gold. It was the size of a vulture. I mean, you can't sit there was a comic and not Goof on the fucking.
Well, there was people on your page that were not having it, sir.
Oh, can I just jump in for? Can I just jump in with this for 1 second? Davin posted something on that. I think it was on that post about how this is a lady that wore a meat dress, and you're talking about this dress? Literally, Mr. Helix and I had the same conversation while we were watching. He goes, what's with that dress? And I said, this is a woman who wore meat. You're upset about this dress?
Yeah.
Because it's true.
Yeah, I if I was going to pick apart Joe's joke, I would have gone, where were you with the meat dress, stupid? I mean, really, that was the conversation. She wore sirloin, and now you're upset that she's got a gold bird? Where the fuck were you, she was wearing Betsy?
I'm not upset. The damn thing stuck out like a sore thumb. Look at the size of the thing.
She's Lady Gaga, stupid. She doesn't go for subtle.
It was giant.
What do you want me to tell you?
You can't sit there as a con. And like I said, I wasn't dissing her talent because it's impossible. She's a phenomenal talent. I'm just looking at her with that big gold. I mean, that big gold. It was the dove of peace, this big gold dove of peace. And I can't sit there and look at the thing the size of a horse and not say anything.
Well, you have pissed off your liberal friends. They want none of it from you, sir.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
All right. Let me continue.
What happened was one of my other liberal friends when they had the new health secretary come out, I came out and I said that it looks like Biden is picking one of his old pals, Ben Franklin, to be the health secretary. And then one of my this girl I went to high school with is all army. She goes, so if he had cerebral palsy, would you be goofing on it then? I go, so let me get this straight, because the person is transgender. Are you deeming them handicapped? I go, I'm not. I go, maybe you're the one with the problem. Never heard back from her.
That was a weird comment she made. In context, yeah. That's weird.
It was just interesting to see Joe's liberal friends come out when he was actually making fucking jokes. It was actually fucking doing jokes, and his friends have obviously had enough of his shit for 4 years. Like, fuck you.
My niece even laid into me. She's like, oh, how can you make a joke like that? I go, because it's my job.
Hey, I didn't attack you. I just watched the show.
I mean, I go, you're a guidance counselor. If there's some kid having problems, what do? Let him fuck up all semester? I mean, you got to do something. It's a job. If I see somebody that looks like Ben Franklin, it's my job.
Okay. Okay.
Called the moment, Joe.
I'm going to move on. I have all the respect for Ben Franklin, because without him, we wouldn't have Ben Franklin drinking term. So my opinions are not the same as Joe's. I have respect for one of our founding fathers, unlike Joe. Anyway, so one pro-Trump crusader who but rather than the much-promised storm, Biden's inauguration went off without a hitch, and Trump quietly flew off to Florida, leaving behind an apparently kind note for his successor. That was nice, by the way. I'm glad at least he fucking did that.
Yeah, I know. I was under the impression that he hadn't, and then I know that there was speculation whether he would or he wouldn't. So when it turned out that he did, I mean, I'd love to read it. But when it turns out that he did, I was like, well, at least there's that.
Yeah, whatever.
You know?
Whatever. Believers long told to trust the plan suddenly faced a crisis of confidence. I think we've been fooled like no other. Oh, you got that right. Another follower person wrote on Telegram, according to The Guardian, it's done and we were played, another wrote, according to the BBC. Even Ron Watkins, the longtime administrator of Acuna, where Q's posts emerged, leading to theories that Watkins could be behind the drops, appeared ready to throw in the towel. We gave it our all. You're all sucks, by the way. That's just me. Watkins wrote on Telegram post minutes after Biden was sworn into office. Now we need to keep our chins up because we're fat, I guess, and go back to our lives as best we are able. Everybody back in the basement. We have a new president sworn in, and it is our responsibility as citizens to respect the Constitution, regardless of whether or not we agree with the specifics, he said as he marched out of the Capitol with a lectern. The whole movement is called into question now. Nay, always questionable. Zealous Trump fans also failed to hide their devastation, with one woman going viral. This is the video I played for you, for a video which she sobbed for Trump to please save us from this devil. Please, President Trump, please, please, I hope you have a plan. It's with the health care plan, sweet tits. It's coming out in 2 weeks. It's coming out with my health care plan. That's where the plan is, she sobbed, saying she was about to have a panic attack. No, no, you are having a panic attack. You're in the throes of the panic attack. This is it, baby.
What? Hold on a second. You know what this whole thing reminded me of? Leave Brittany alone! Very strange.
You're nuts. That person was nuts. This person was nuts.
Still, not everyone was willing to give a faith in the movement, which previously overcame promises that Hillary Clinton was going to be arrested, and that John F. Kennedy Jr. Would emerge alive to be Trump's running mate. You know, that whole plane. Because you know those Kennedys, they always come back from death.
Now the thing I want to point out is that when I was reading the story, you know, the whole premise is these people feel that Trump let them down. And just when you read that, your John F. Kennedy is going to come out of, you know, the dead or be dead to be the running man. I mean,
but Joe, we have them in Congress. They are now in positions of power. We have Congress people who subscribe to this. It's taken over. That's why we were saying there was always these people on the fringe. Yeah, and now they're in government, which is a problem. A poll of more than 36,000 people in a QAnon Telegram channel showed that 34% believe the military and Trump have a plan coming in the near future, even while acknowledging the transfer of presidential power. Trump has said, "The best is yet to come. I'm not giving up." Telegram user Qtaw wrote in an announcement to his 37,000 subscribers, in which he also said he was taking a social media break. Oh, no. Some even believe that Trump left the White House on Wednesday with a message for them. Noting that his farewell speech was delivered in front of 17 American flags, the same number as Q in the alphabet. I bet you didn't pick up on that, Joe. No, of course you didn't. I believe the game is still being played.
No, this JFK Jr. is coming back to help lead the country.
Well, yeah, as soon as he emerges from the ocean. And he was a Democrat. Why would he come back? That doesn't even make sense. Not even politically. Nobody wants to run with his.
I like the way you're trying to ration the reason behind it. It's crazy.
Yes, you're right. You're right. I was just saying, like, even if we did have zombies, I mean, he would still be a lib. But anyway, I move on. You know, he's not eating brains. He's eating, like, kale. Anyway, I believe the game is still being played. This is not over, one QAnon user wrote to his 26.
Well, can I say something? It's almost like you're complaining about the bag lady that's dancing on the subway grate, and she's not dancing to, like, an R&B song. She's dancing to a rock song, which doesn't make sense.
I'm complaining that there's so many bag ladies, Joe. My complaint is that there's so many bag ladies, and now the bag ladies are at the levers of power. I don't care that there's batshit crazy people. I find them entertaining. I just don't want them making laws. Meanwhile,
he just doesn't want them to be a whole chorus line.
Right, which goes to everybody having a voice. Meanwhile, there are still concerns that the conspiracy, whose believers were at the forefront of the Capitol riots, would remain a danger, and that its followers could now also be encouraged to support even more extreme viewpoints. The greatest risk is that people who become disillusioned in QAnon are going to these channels where they might be recruited by white nationalists or other extremists. Travis View, a co-host of the podcast QAnon Anonymous, told The Guardian. Okay, so that's QAnon. Now let's go to the Proud Boys. After the presidential election last year, Proud Boys, a far-right group, declared its undying loyalty to President Trump. By the way, what is with the undying loyalty? Undying loyalty to a politician? One that's cheated on every one of his fucking wives? That's the last guy to give the undying. How about I'll give you loyalty to a point? Our loyalty to a point to President Trump. That would make much more sense. I'm not giving undying loyalty to any politician, let alone the one that keeps on cheating on his wife.
It doesn't make any sense why he has been raised to this level, this godlike level.
But let me get through this, because there's layers I want to talk about. In a November 8th post in a private channel of the messaging app Telegram, the group urged its followers to attend protests against an election that it said had been fraudulently stolen from the Trump. Hail Emperor Trump, the Proud Boys wrote. Emperor Trump, ooh, fancy. But by this week, the group's attitude toward Trump had changed. Nay, nay! Nay, nay! You pledged undying loyalty. That's for reals. You can't fucking change midstream. How dare you, Proud Boys? Are you not men of honor? Trump will go down as a total failure. Failure. The Proud Boys said in the same Telegram channel Monday. As Trump departed the White House on Wednesday, the Proud Boys, once among his staunchest supporters, have also started leaving his side. In dozens of conversations on social media sites like Gab and Telegram, members of the group have begun calling Trump a shill and extraordinarily weak, according to messages reviewed by the New York Times. They have also urged supporters to stop attending rallies and protests held for Trump or the Republican Party. The comments are starting to startling turn for the Proud Boys, which for years backed Trump and promoted political violence, led by Enrique Tarrio. Many of its thousands of members were such diehard fans of Trump that they offered to serve as his private militia and celebrated after he told them in a presidential debate last year to stand back and stand by. On January 6th, some Proud Boys members stormed the U.S. Capitol. But since then, the discontent with Trump, who later condemned the violence, he didn't want it, if it makes you feel better, Proud Boys. You could tell that was a hostage video. He was very pleased with it, but the aide said, you got to do something, you're stupid, they're coming for you. On social media, Proud Boys participants have complained about his willingness to leave office and said his disavowal. First of all, you can say a lot of things about Donald Trump. Willingness to leave office is not one of them. I mean, seriously. I mean, he was working with his attorney generals to fucking overturn the Georgia election. He's calling Georgia looking for votes. Willingness to leave office. I mean, he had a great life beforehand. You could understand if he wanted to leave office, but nay, nay. He's like a spot that won't come out. How dare you say that about our former president?
And the funny thing is, where it doesn't make sense is that the whole reason that they were there was because they felt it was his unwillingness to leave office.
Yes, yes, yes. That's very true. For 2 months, he made it perfectly clear how unwilling he was to leave office. It wasn't like the night of the election, he goes, well, that's that, guys. Peace out. No, no, he did not do that.
That's half the reason you were there.
That's the only reason they were there. That and there was a sale on animal pelts. But anyway. But since then, the discontent with Trump later boiled over. On social media, Proud Boys participants have complained about his willingness to leave office and said his disavowal of the Capitol rampage was an act of betrayal. And Trump cut off on Facebook and Twitter, has been unable to talk directly to them, to soothe their concerns, or issue new rallying cries, and the rest of us call it peace and quiet. When Trump told them he left office, America would fall into an abyss. They believed him! Aria Kovler, a political consultant and independent researcher in Israel who studies the far-right set of the Proud Boys. Now that he's left office, they believe he has both surrendered and failed to do his patriotic duty. The shift raises questions about the strength of the support for Trump and suggests that pockets of his fans base are starting to fracture. Many of Trump's fans still falsely believe he was deprived of office, but other far-right groups such as the Oath Keepers, America First, and the Three Percenters have also started criticizing him in private Telegram channels. Last week, Nicholas Fuentes, the leader of America First, wrote in a Telegram channel that Trump's response to the Capitol rampage was very weak and flaccid, like a penis, and added, not the same guy that ran in 2015. Yes, it is, stupid! Yes, it is, you dumb fucking morons! I apologize. On Wednesday, the Proud Boys Telegram group welcomed President Joe Biden to office. At least the incoming administration is honest about their intentions. Yes, we're taking your guns, motherfucker. welcome communism. Anyway.
It's almost hard to take this seriously because nothing they say makes sense.
But Joe, here's the thing. If most people were like us and not taking it seriously, this would not really be an issue for this show.
Most people are.
A lot of people. Listen, man, you're seeing it in the Republican Party. The Republican Party is fucking destroyed. Now you get primaried if you say the election was fair. Let's move on. Like if you're not believing the lie that it was stolen, then you're the outlier now. The Republican Party has destroyed itself. So, all right. So that's basically the gist of it. The Proud Boys are turning on him. I don't want to go through the whole thing, but here's something interesting. I have seen people who were once normalish become radicalized over the 5 years where Trump was running to the end of his presidency. I don't know if you guys have, but I've like seen people who like used to normally have a conversation, whether it be about politics or anything else, whether you disagreed or not, they seem like rational, sane people. Now I've seen these same people like oh no, it's all part of Trump's plan. He put the three judges on the Supreme Court so that they can overturn the election. Like they don't want democracy. They think it's all put.
Well, it goes back to critical thinking. You know, with the judges on there, I do feel maybe in the back of his mind that he felt, you know, I think Giuliani did with the judges in there, that those judges would side with them when they would come with the election information. But like I said, and I think I said the past two shows, when these judges were sitting there and getting grilled, and, well, do you favor this? No, I rule to the Constitution. Well, damn it all, I rule to the Constitution. They get in there and they rule to the Constitution, and they're like, well, they're not doing what Trump wanted because they told you they rule to the Constitution. What part did you didn't understand?
Which brings
a conservative Republican, and you know, what the fuck don't you get?
Which brings me to my next point. It is very clear to me, and I suspect a lot of other people, there is now a large segment, not a fringe, a large segment of our population that does not value American democracy. They want martial law. They want judges in the pocket. They want it their way or else. They don't want democracy. It was very hard for a lot of people, as we've gone over time and again on our show, for Donald Trump to beat Hillary Clinton. It was very hard for them. But you did not see this anti-democracy thing where they were suspecting judges were in their pocket and they wanted Hillary to lead the cavalry or something. There's a strain of concern. I don't even know if they're conservatives. They fall under the conservative branch. They want authoritarianism. They want daddy, and their daddy happens to be Donald Trump. That should be scary. I mean, we've joked on this show that they're nuts and everything, but we are now at a place where whether you're conservative or liberal, we all have to band together and deal with the nuts. And that's where you see people like Liz Cheney, who's as fucking conservative as you could ever imagine. Dick Cheney's daughter, third ranking member of the Republicans in the Congress. Mitt Romney, whatever you know, presidential nominee for the Republicans. Other Republicans are coming and go, this is fucking madness. And they're in the minority. That's where our democracy has suffered a mortal wound. And we don't get to, it can't be liberals versus conservatives. It has to be people who love democracy, whether liberal or conservative, versus the others. That's what the line has to be. Because, you know, Joe and I probably don't agree on many things politically, but I think we both love democracy. We both, you know, sometimes it goes in our favor, sometimes it doesn't. We've done this show long enough where each one has been on the losing side of it. It's okay. We all go along with our lives. You know, we argue. That's fine. But we've never said the government should be overthrown. We want the military in control. We want judges in our president's pocket. There's a strain that's very dangerous to our way of life, to this great experiment. And honestly, as citizens, we should all be concerned.
Very. Extremely. It astounds me that there are enough people that seem to be afraid of socialism, but they're not afraid of totalitarianism.
They're not.
But basically, you're dealing with a fringe of people that felt that their voice wasn't heard during the Obama administration. With Trump in there, they felt that their voice was heard. And they put their belief in that. With the election, due to all the mail-in ballots that were irregularities on there, it needs to be looked into, but nonetheless, that was the election, and that's what happened. Now they feel disenfranchised, and they were afraid of the policies that were going to come in with the Biden administration. Right off the bat, some of those policies are coming in, and they just feel that their voice is never going to be heard again. You have that radical fringe of that takes extreme action on it, which is a problem.
But Joe, this is where you and I are disagreeing. It's not the radical fringe anymore. It has taken over the Republican Party. That's why you see they don't even want to have the impeachment hearing. And that these people all, like these Republicans all said Trump was responsible. Now they don't want to even have the hearing because they're afraid. They're afraid to do their fucking job. Listen, sometimes as a leader, you have to do unpopular things. If you feel like Donald Trump did nothing wrong with the insurrection, then vote that way. If you feel he did, then vote that way. But they're afraid. And listen, I like our leaders to be afraid of the people to a degree, but at some point you have to make a stand. I mean, you have to stick up for the Constitution. And we have a growing segment of this country that doesn't stick up for it. Listen, there's still Antifa shit going on, so I'm guessing they're not really happy with democracy either, that fringe of the left-wing party.
Now, you would think, and that's another interesting point about a fringe group. Biden is in. There's all these liberal policies. They're going to be putting Harriet Tubman on the $20 bill. And Antifa is still burning shit and destroying shit. You get that radical fringe, you know?
Yeah, but that's the thing, though. That's the thing. Antifa still is the fringe. You don't have any Antifa Congress people. You don't. I mean, you have Joe Biden pretty much saying, from the get-go, we don't want you burning shit down. That's the problem. I feel Donald Trump is responsible for a lot. I've been saying this was a scam from the beginning. Now, Joe and I might disagree on that. That's fine. Because I know how scammers work. They try to isolate you. Donald Trump said, don't believe what you're hearing and seeing. Believe me. He said that. It wasn't a secret text message. It wasn't a tweet. He said that. He also said, I alone can fix this. He also said that, you know, the media is the enemy of the people. He put all this stuff out there the same way a scammer does. Don't believe your sister. She doesn't know you the way I know you. Don't believe your friend. He doesn't care about you the way I care about. I have the answers. I'll make it better. All your love, all your dreams are fulfilled with me. So you have these people that are looking for something. Yes, Joe, you're probably right. They, for some reason, they didn't feel like their needs were met under the Obama administration. We always have the discontented in every administration. But Donald Trump weaponized that. Donald Trump, as he's always done, Donald Trump sees a weakness and he draws on it. You know, that scam school that he had all these people that wanted to get rich quick in real estate. And Donald Trump said, well, if you want to get rich quick in real estate, I'll fucking help you get rich quick in real estate. I mean, this is what Donald Trump does. And he duped a nation. So here's where I get torn. Like, we're saying they're crazy and everything and we're laughing. But I've dealt with so many scam victims, there's part of me that's like, well, maybe I shouldn't laugh. Because I know very smart people that have fallen victims to scams. Maybe I should feel badly. But then there's a part of me that you go, well, they believe in Satan worshiping pedophiles. And JFK Jr. was coming back. Well, you know, it's just utterly ridiculous. I mean,
the question I want to ask you is, you were worried that some of these people are getting into, elected officials. Who?
Wait for it. I'm going to cover that.
Oh, go cover it.
I'm sorry?
Yeah, tell us.
Wait for it. That's my bitches be crazy.
Oh, that's piss bitches be crazy. Oh, yeah. We have a couple female.
Oh, okay.
We have a couple female congresswomen, it's getting more and more. You're starting to see in the political parties because they're believing the big lie. But yeah, they are QAnon. They've run on QAnon, which is ridiculous. But yeah, so is Donald Trump? Did Donald Trump create a cult or a scam? I mean, in my opinion, he did. What do you guys think?
I disagree. I don't think he created a cult. I mean, basically, you had people that had the ideology of basically what Trump wanted to do, but I think that sometimes they're weak-minded and don't have a sense of reality towards that.
Yeah, but Joe, these aren't all weak-minded people. I mean, it isn't just the lunatic fringe. I mean, these are people in our neighborhood. These are realtors. These are members of the Chambers of Commerce and something. These were productive citizens. So I don't know if we can just whitewash with that. And you see that with cults and scams too. That's why I bring it up. It's not just somebody who has mental illness that falls for the charade. It's not that. Normal people in our everyday lives who we think they would have their shit together, believe this.
Yeah. You look and you say, I'm sorry, Doug, go ahead.
Oh, you got, you know, you have people that feel that they're being disenfranchised. You know, I mean, to tell you the truth, a lot of the way the culture has been is if you're a white Caucasian person or a white person, you're the devil. And that's what's being portrayed. That's what's being portrayed since last year. And you get a sense that, you know, you're being pigeonholed into something and you want to stand up for your rights. Now, if you get a lunatic fringe on that, it gets a little bit out of hand. But basically, that's been the thing since the beginning of March. Well, not March, moving in towards the summer. And basically, another thing to add is you have people that don't have jobs, that had their jobs shut down, no income, and they don't feel a lot of these Democratic governments are working for them. They're putting them out, so you start to get this sense of uneasiness, and that you want to lash out and have your voice heard. And that's, you know, if the pandemic didn't happen, none of this would have happened. You know, the pandemic has destroyed a lot of stuff, and put a little of insanity in people's minds.
Yeah, but I don't think we're seeing this in other countries like we're seeing it here. I mean, President Trump cultivated
because
this.
Because in other countries, you don't have the freedoms that we do have here.
We don't know, but England shut down.
If you start to get those freedoms taken away, you start to get on edge.
England is much more shut down than we are right now, and they've had much more drastic shutdowns. Same with Canada. I mean, those are just like us. They're not having these issues. Yeah, listen, President.
Smaller countries.
But you would get a percentage, the same percentage of people, not less overall people, but the same percentage. You don't see that because our leader at the time, President Trump, cultivated. I do find it interesting, though, that these Proud Boys now think that Donald Trump became weak and a liar. And this just goes to show what we were talking about earlier. Look at Pip with that big smile. Now, Joe's going to disagree with me here. That's fine. And I don't want to argue about it now. But Donald Trump's been weak and a liar essentially his whole fucking life. I mean, that's who Donald Trump is. I mean, so you – but what you have – I found with a lot of Trump people is they got involved in politics with Donald Trump. Joe never fell into that category because Joe and I have been arguing about politics for fucking years. So Joe's got a little background to him. Donald Trump was not Joe's first rodeo. He's seen presidents on both sides come and go. So Joe has context when we're having a conversation like, oh, well, they're treating him unfairly. Yeah, but they treated that guy unfairly too. This, that, the other, because we've been around the block. These people who just jumped into Trump go, oh, look at the Democrats. They're coming after Donald Trump. Bah, bah, bah. Whether you think it's fair or unfair, if you lived through Obama and you were paying attention, they did the same shit to him. They did the same shit to Bill Clinton. You know, W got attacked too. It's just the way the shit is. That's the gig if you're a modern day president. They're going to come after you. But these people think it was like personal against Donald Trump. And for some reason, they identify with him, which I don't understand. But I never have understood that.
Because they feel like they're the Donald Trump was an underdog.
In what way?
Donald Trump.
He was a rich white guy. I wish I was that under Trump.
Because he was. Because from the beginning they tried to get rid of him. The press was against him. You know,
press was not against him. Press was not against him.
The press was against him, okay?
No, I'll tell you what. You know, because the other candidates were so fucking pissed off in 2015, 2016, because Donald Trump was getting all this free press, because they couldn't wait to talk to him. The press loved Donald Trump.
When he got in as president, right from the get-go,
every president feels that way. Every president feels the press attacks him. That's the fucking gig. That's like being a movie star and your movie gets a bad review. Oh, well, Siskel and Ebert are against me. No, they just thought the movie sucked.
Because he was an outsider, he never, I mean, it was always an uphill battle for him.
He was never an outsider.
I'm sorry?
He's never an outsider. He's been paying for liberal politicians for years. And, you know, he's been rubbing elbows with politicians for years. Never an outsider. Complete myth.
Rubbing elbows is one thing. When you're the president of the United States trying to get your agenda through, and you're not doing it in a political fashion, you know, he upset the apple cart. You can't tell me that within the political parties, both Republican and Democrat, he didn't upset the apple cart.
Well, Joe, because the wheels of laws do not run by tweet. Listen, that's just the way it is. You got to do the dirty work. You got to invite the Democrats over.
But what I'm saying is, regardless of, he could knock it over the tweet, but he upset the apple cart. Now, with that, the people that followed him felt that they had their voice and he was upsetting the apple cart. And that's why they got behind him, you know, and because they felt that he was an underdog.
Well, the interesting thing is
going
to be, you know, if Trump reemerges, will they go back to Trump? If Trump doesn't reemerge, are they done with politics? It's going to be interesting to see what happens with all these Trump voters.
It's going to get very interesting because I saw it briefly. I saw something on Facebook today that said he's putting together the office of the former president of the United States. I looked at that with a grain of salt on my own. But let's say that he does that and starts to build something. They're talking about the Patriot Party. It's going to be a third party. It could hurt the Republicans. You know, I mean, the Republicans have enough damage as it is. So basically, for the next election cycle, you know, if they're building the Patriot Party, we go into 2025 would be the next election, or 2024?
No, you'd have 20. You'd have
24.
24.
No, you have the congressional races in 2022.
Well, 22 for the midterms, 24. But you got to see where the party is, because basically the Republican Party took enough hit with the Patriot Party in there. It's going to even take more votes away with not enough for the Republican, not enough for the the Patriot Party, which would mean another easy win for the Democrats.
Fingers crossed.
Going into this, there's got to be a lot of fixing and seeing where everybody wants to go.
Listen, Donald Trump is the Republican Party, first of all. Second of all, he's never going to start the Patriot Party. First of all, Joe raises a very good point, which I've been saying too. It'd be the worst thing that would happen to the conservatives. But he's never going to start a Patriot Party, and I'm going to be very blunt, because it involves a lot of work. It's hard to get on ballots. It's hard to start up something from scratch. Donald Trump, despite the myth, has never been a hard worker. I'm never going to play golf. Really, motherfucker? If you look at you spent a quarter of your presidency at your golf courses. Stop it. He's never going to start the Patriot Party. Donald Trump is a troll. He's a troublemaker. He likes the power, and he still has it because the Republicans are spineless pussies. Donald Trump has taken over that party, so he doesn't have to do anything. He just has to back people to primary all these motherfuckers, and he's still the Republican Party. But here's what they don't understand. With the exception of 2016, you've lost every fucking election with this guy. You lost the House, you lost the Senate, you lost the presidency. Republican candidates ran better than Donald Trump did on many of the ballots. America does not want Donald Trump. I know he has his very core supporters, and it's a sizable amount of people. I understand that. But the populace does not want this guy. He's never won an election.
Let me ask you a question. I just want to back you up for a second.
Yeah.
And ask you a question. You made a comment that he might help out in the primaries. Do you think he's going to be really wanted as help? I mean, you saw what happened with the election in Georgia.
Well, you know, listen. If you get Donald Trump to. Yes, they want him because they want to be next. They want him in theory. They want his people to come out for him. But Donald Trump is such a narcissist that if he actually does show up at your campaign event, it's all going to be about him anyway. So they want him in theory, but he's not going to be like what Obama was for Biden, rolling up the sleeves, talking about how good Joe Biden is, going from place to place. Donald Trump might go out again, but he wants to feel that adulation, and he'll get that adulation. But again,
unless they're running somebody in his family.
Well, yeah, I mean, Ivanka might run against Marco Rubio. But again, I don't see these Trumps running. They're lazy fucking grifters. I hate to burst the bubble.
The thing, and like I said, I like every Tuesday I listen to WOR, they have Alice Christianos on there, who's a commentator. And he mentioned that was the discussion that was going on this morning. And he said, you know, it's a chance to make money, you know, and to raise some money. So it could, you know.
But here's the thing. Here's the thing. A year and a half from now, because that's really when the campaigns start up for the midterms, there's a very good chance Donald Trump's going to be up to his ass with legal issues. I mean,
well, that could be too. Also, another question I want to pose. Basically, when a president gets out of office, after the years fade and they start to take the position of statesman. A perfect example is George Bush.
Sure.
The second, where you'd say what you want about him, but basically he's in a position as an elder statesman now.
Well, let me tell you why. You're absolutely right. People do tend to look more fondly upon things. But you have to, besides time being passed, he did things on the way out that were done properly. He was very gracious to the Obamas. You know what? At the end of his term, when the economy was going tits up, he had McCain and Obama in there consulting with them, knowing that he was doing all the things for the wheels of government that, as an American, even if you didn't like his policies, and I hated fucking W. I hated W. You could go, at least he did things right on the way out. Also, it helps, in W's case, with the guy after you from your party, is a complete fucking disaster. I mean, I know he has his fans, and I don't want to argue that anymore. But, again, to the vast majority of Americans, Donald Trump was a fucking disaster. We don't want to live. Forget about his policies. He was just exhausting. And I said that 2 years into it. I said he's going to lose. Forget about his policies because America's tired. You know what's nice about Biden? He doesn't fucking tweet. He holds a press conference every day. You could tune in or not tune in. It's factual. It's boring. They're doing the COVID press conferences that Joe wanted. They're letting the fucking scientists speak. They trot out the scientists. You don't hear from the president babbling away. Ask the fucking scientists the questions. End of the fucking day. It's business as usual. So I don't think Trump's going to get that glow. Also, Trump did not go to the inauguration. If he went to the inauguration, he would have been sitting there with Clinton and W and Obama, the former presidents. You're part of that club. We've only had 46 people who've held that position. 46 men in our country's history. He doesn't want anything a part of it. So yes, I mean, some of the hatred will dissipate. But it's not going to be like W. I mean, and W was god-awful. God-awful if you look at what happened with war and Katrina and the economy collapsing. It was a shit show. I don't think Trump's going to get that. I think, if anything, he might lose popularity. You know, because I think a lot of these people that are all in on Trump, they're not really political wonks like Joe and I are, and to a lesser degree Pip is, I think, because we make her, to be honest. But Joe and I kind of like the political thing. I don't think most Trump supporters are political wonks. I think Trump was interesting, exciting, and as Joe says, he turned over the apple cart and they identified with him for whatever reason. And he was certainly entertaining, but I think that fades.
I think, time will tell. And I do feel for the 22 midterms, I don't feel like if he wants to reach out and help a candidate, I think he'll be persona non grata. You know, I don't think enough time has gone by.
But Joe, I would want to agree with you, but look at the way these Republicans are still kowtowing to him. They're afraid of a tweet, and the motherfucker can't even tweet. What are they afraid of? A carrier pigeon? I don't know what they're afraid of. I mean, Mike Pence's life was threatened. I mean, Mike Pence was Donald Trump's ride or die, and Donald Trump's people wanted to hang that motherfucker. And they like Mike Pence. They all like Mike. Mike Pence was a senator. He was a congressman. He was vanilla. You can't get more old school Republican than Mike Pence was. And they're like, fuck it.
I like Mike Pence, and a lot. And believe me, on those press conferences during the spring and stuff like that, he kind of helped him along, you know. After Trump, Trump walked away. He's like, all right, you know, let's like group here, you know. And he was the kind of the more voice of reason with everything. And he didn't fight with the press, you know. Like I said, well, Trump, you didn't have to fight with the press. I mean, I like Trump's policies. I thought Trump's policies were good. He was too much of a narcissist, and that hurt him. And it hurt him in the election because people voted personality over policy.
No, I think a lot of people didn't like his politics too, to be honest with you. But his I think his personality certainly was the driving force. I think it goes back to what I said, and then I want to move on. I just said it a few minutes ago. We were exhausted. Joe, I mean, honestly, doesn't it feel better not to be bombarded by presidential tweets, whether you like the president or not? Isn't it just nice to be able to go about your fucking day and not be inundated with politics? Like, you can tune in when you want to, but it's not like constantly breaking news, new fucking scandal. Like, I guess the Biden scandal was a Rolex watch or something. Okay, let's go back to, I mean, if that's what we're upset about, please, it's much better. I think America was just exhausted. Like I said, was Biden the right guy? He's the right guy for now. He's America's sits. Like, you posted something. Yeah, I think you posted something about a crackhead being bored. Joe posted something.
Yeah, he could put a crackhead to sleep.
I commented, yes, isn't it so nice? And people like that post. It's like, I'm not going to even argue with Joe. Biden is boring. It's fucking nice. I don't need to be into. What? Go on.
Sorry. I had Anthony's show on this afternoon, and he had the Biden speech. And Biden is sitting there going, we're going to work as hard as we can to get as much as the vaccine as we can out to people. And Anthony goes, why don't you get Hunter to help you? He's good with getting drugs.
Yeah. That's funny. That's funny.
That's fucking lie. I wish I wrote that.
I don't know if the Hunter's drugs were needles, but it's certainly something to investigate. Yeah. I'll give Anthony. Anthony might be one of the few political comedians, and I don't look at Joe as a political comedian. I mean, I know he has a point of view in his act, but I don't look at Joe as doing political comedy. But as far as right wing comedians, and I'll call Anthony a comedian for the sake of this, he's probably one of the only ones that's actually funny and creative. Yeah. And to that point, I'll say, how many times do we still have to be treated to Monica Lewinsky jokes? I mean, enough.
God.
You got to understand, with Ant, he's very good because he's very well read, and he'll work with the facts.
Right, no, but that's why I'm giving him credit. Like Anthony could probably write a stand-up bit of political humor from the right-wing side. Like you just relayed that story now. I'd go, all right, that's funny.
I wish he would. Like I said, he was doing a lot of political commentary on jokes in the stand, and it wasn't improv. I mean, all four shows, it was the same stuff. So, you know, he's writing material on that.
My point is just most of these right-wing comedians that attempt to do humor about politics, they're just not creative. They're just not good. And again, Joe, I don't consider you a political comedian. Yeah, I consider your point of view to be middle class everyman, which I don't really take as a political stance. That's just a common point of view, regardless of political affiliation. I look at that as the way you see the world, not as a political thing. I'm talking about comedians who talk about politics, who happen to be right wingers. Like, they're just not good. Hillary's a bitch. Bill Clinton got a blowjob. I mean, that's been it. I mean, so whatever. That was just a tangent.
Those aren't political comics. Those are hacks.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, I don't find a lot of right wing comics who do political humor good. Now, they might do other stuff well, but they don't do when they dabble into politics. It's very seldom good. It's very seldom a different take on things, a creative way. It's like the fucking, like, okay, we're going to get Biden is old. All right. I mean, what are we going to get 4 years? I guarantee you, Biden's going to be older tomorrow than he is today. I mean, how many of those jokes are we going to get? Are we going to do the senile shit? Okay. I mean, clearly he's not. I mean, if you listen to these press conferences, yes, Joe, they don't have the.
He doesn't know where he is. He doesn't know where he is. He told them we were going to take him to go out to get candy. And there's a big, nice place with the pillars in front of it we're going to go to.
I'd go there, too. No, he knows where. If you're listening to these press conferences, he's actually been doing it better, much better than Chuck Schumer with erection, by the way. But if you listen to these press conferences, I mean Chucky baby, come back to us. But anyway, what are you gonna do? But you know, listen, I just hope if the right wing comics are gonna try political humor, they get funny. I said it. Write some creative shit. I mean,
yeah.
That's all I'm asking. Again, I'm not putting Joe in that category because he doesn't do political humor, to be, in my opinion. All right. White men not wanted. So this is going to go to Joe's thing here. Joe feels the white man's been persecuted. In this case, he might have a point. recently let go longtime SNY sportscaster Jonas Schwartz. Do you guys know who he is?
No.
He hosted...
No.
Well, there's a lot of painful memories with Mr. Schwartz and myself, because for the past 5 years he's hosted the Jets postgame show. So, you can imagine.
Yeah, so you have history.
Jonas Schwartz plans to file a multi-million dollar retaliation and race discrimination lawsuit against his former network in Southern District Federal Court. Next week, the Post has learned Schwartz's lawyer, Kristen Peters-Hamlin, already has filed a complaint with the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission, a copy of which the Post obtained. The EEOC file is a requirement before a suit. Peters-Hamlin confirmed to the Post the plans for the forthcoming federal court filing next week and damages sought. We are not aware of any lawsuit, says SNY, and they have no comment. The EEOC complaint lays the groundwork of SNY's alleged retaliation and discrimination against Schwartz because of his skin color. The 45-year-old Schwartz, who is white, did not have his contract renewed at the end of last year after 14 years on SNY's air. Schwartz claims following years of excellent reviews, SNY cut ties with him after he confronted his bosses about being taken off social justice shows when another broadcaster complained about working with, quote, a couple of white guys. Pip has had those same complaints, by the way. The EEOC complaint states Schwartz hosted a two-part digital series on social justice and sports with Janae Coakley, Bart Scott, and Ralph Vacchiano in June after the killing of George Floyd. Scott is an African-American, while Coakley is of mixed race, having said on social media her father is black and her mother is white. Vacchiano and Schwartz are white. Although Schwartz is Jewish. I think that does make a difference. But he...
I do, too.
The June shows, according to the complaint, were well-received, internally gaining praise from the SNY producers and executives. In late August, the same foursome was supposed to host another digital show on social justice and football, according to the complaint. After the Zoom taping time had moved from 1 to... Fred moved to 1 p.m. Scott said he could not make it then. With Schwartz and Vacchiano ready to go, Coakley emotionally stated, according to the complaint, "Why are we doing this? We've already done a show like this." The EEOC complaint added, Ms. Coakley went on to say in a loud, pained voice, "No offense, but I don't want to do this with a couple of white guys. You can't understand what we are going through. Why are we doing this with white guys?" Because they're on the payroll, stupid. The Post requested to ask Coakley directly about this incident, but SNY declined to make her available. Vacchiano, the complaint said, volunteered to step aside. Schwartz, according to the complaint, said he believed he had a valued opinion to share as well, but would do whatever SNY directed. In the next hour, Schwartz claims he was pulled by Mark Davis, SNY's coordinating producer from the show. Davis allegedly told Schwartz to take the week off because he didn't play the right position for the show. Davis had been among those who praised Schwartz for June social justice shows. In the complaint, Schwartz said that Davis admitted that it could be an HR issue if Schwartz was another race. "You're probably right," Davis allegedly said. The EEOC claim cites the 1976 Supreme Court ruling that upheld McDonald versus Santa Fe Transportation Company by saying white employees are equally protected against discrimination under race discrimination as black employees. SNY subsequently moved the social justice and football taping to 5 p.m. and added Jamal Westerman, who is black, to the team with Coakley and Scott. Schwartz and Vacchiano were removed, according to the complaint. In early September, Schwartz claims he reached out to his bosses, SNY executive producer Kirk Gowdy Jr., Brad Como, senior VP content development, as well as human resources manager Jackie Millett. During a Zoom, the bosses agreed the situation hadn't been handled correctly. While they said they control who was on the show, the complaint alleges that pulling a talented professional host because of race was improper. In October, Gowdy and Como informed Schwartz his position was being eliminated. However, the complaint says that it is pretextual because there are 2.5 years left on SNY's deal with the Jets and the network will need a host. So even though he's year to year, the SNY is still going to be doing the postgame show. So he's arguing, well, you still need a host. Schwartz had been the lead of SNY's Jet coverage for the past 5 years and has consistently received excellent internal reviews, according to the complaint. SNY did have layoffs earlier in the summer, but the move with Schwartz was not part of a reorganization, according to the EEOC complaint. The employer admitted its race-based decision was improper, but then improperly retaliated against Jonas by terminating him for asserting his right to work in an environment free of discrimination. All employees are entitled to be judged based on their merits and the content of the character, not the color of their skin. That's what the his lawyer is arguing. Last June in Connecticut, Peters-Hamlin, the lawyer, prevailed in a multi-million dollar... Okay. I do think it seems like this guy was discriminated against.
Yeah, it does seem that way.
Yeah.
And I do have a problem. Like, I get Janae Coakley's point about being uncomfortable with it. But, I mean, you could never... Like, a white person could never say, I don't want to do this with two black people. I mean, like, I mean, that's a problem, too. I mean, I understand why Jhené Coakley might be uncomfortable, but at some point you have to go, listen, we're all journalists. You know, just go listen. I'm not going to do the show. We've covered the show. I'm bowing out. I don't want to do this show. If that's a, don't say you don't want to do it with the two white guys. Just go, listen, we've done it before. I said what I had to say. I feel uncomfortable doing this show now.
Yeah, because as soon as you say you don't want to do it with two white guys, now you're putting race into it, you know?
Yeah.
It's a two-way street, you know, it really is.
And I do feel that, first of all, I feel like a white person has a point of view. First of all, the white person's job in that scenario is to do a lot of fucking listening. But it is important for the audience to see a white person listening. That being said, they also have points of view, too. And Jonah Schwartz is a Jewish person. Yes, we look white, but Jewish people have also faced persecution. So there is that relatability. That's why Jewish and black people, I used to talk about my act, I do on occasion. We have things in common. Black people are traditionally slaves. Jewish people were slaves. But when shit goes wrong in the country, the black people and the Jewish people look at you and go, we better get the fuck out of town because we know shit rolls downhill. So I do think he has a point of view. And this guy has been praised for his work. I feel it was a shitty move. You know what? Just fucking cancel the show or wait till you can get Bart Scott to do it. But don't just remove the white people. And then you're admitting later, well, you know, it was handled wrong. I mean, we'll see how this comes out. But this, you know, I don't. Overall, white men have had it very good in this country. Overall, in the grand scheme of things, as far as anybody in our society, white men have had it well. That being said, in this case, it looks like you're penalizing the guy for being a white male. If he's a good fucking journalist and he did a good job on the first show, don't take him off the second show.
Yeah, right.
It's kind of ridiculous to say, look, we want to be treated the same, and then turning around and saying, except you. We don't want you here right now. You know, it's like, yes, I understand that you've had many, many years of privilege, and you would say that, you know, they still do, because things are not quite where they're supposed to be, but you can't take the basis of your argument, treating people differently based on their ethnicity,
their race,
their gender, whatever. If you're going to say, let's treat people the same based on their merits instead of those other criteria, then you can't turn around and then say, oh, but you're white, so not you. No, duh, you just did what you were arguing against.
It loses all of its gravitas.
It does.
All right.
Does.
Yeah.
So we all agree on this one. This guy was done dirty. We'll see. You listen,
right.
If anybody should have been asked to step down, it should have been Jhené Coakley. She wasn't willing to play ball. And I wouldn't have asked her to, I wouldn't have fired her either. But I'm saying if anybody was wrong in this whole scenario, it was her. They did this guy dirty. And it seems like they were retaliating against him. He was fine. I like the old host. They had Brian Custer, who was an African-American guy. I liked it better when he hosted it. But Jonah Schwartz was fine. And if they were happy with his job, they're treating him like shit. I hope he wins. All right.
Same here.
All right. Did you guys see the video of this next story, the gun being brandished during the meeting?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, good. So a Michigan County commissioner whipped out a rifle at a virtual public meeting while a woman was criticizing the Proud Boys, prompting calls for his resignation, according to a report. Grand Traverse County Commissioner Ron Klaus flashed the gun, it was naked, as resident Kelly McIntosh expressed fear that members of the extremist group had spoken about gun rights at a meeting back in March, according to the Record Eagle. McIntosh had just asked commissioners to denounce the Proud Boys during a public comment period when Klaus stepped away from his webcam and returned with the weapon. He held the rifle up briefly, then set it down without a word, causing Commissioner Chair Ron Henschel to laugh. I guess that's real comedy right there. He's a prop comic. It's the Gallagher of commissioners, Joe.
Yeah.
But McIntosh, who had just expressed concern about a potential uptick in gun violence after the U.S. Capitol breach, said she was frightened by the move. This guy is in the middle of a government meeting brandishing a weapon, McIntosh told the paper. Why would I not think they were trying to harm me? Klaus later defended flashing the weapon and said he had no problem with the Proud Boys, which was deemed an extremist group by the FBI. The only thing I know about the Proud Boys, and I'm not much for them book learning, is when they came and spoke to us, they were probably the most respectful groups that got up and talked. They were decent, polite, they held out the chair, they were dressed very nicely, and they treated us with respect. Such good boys, the Proud Boys. Henschel added that he saw nothing wrong with displaying a gun at a public meeting. I saw it across his chest and thought it was ironic of him to do that, Henschel said. Isn't it ironic? Don't you think? Like, you know, finding all these spoons when all you need is a fork? The person was talking about guns, and he had one across his chest. I didn't see him do anything illegal or dangerous with it. He wasn't threatening or brandishing. He was just holding it, as one is wont to do with a semi-automatic rifle. Let me get mine right now. It's lonely, and I want to cuddle. But other commissioners jumped to McIntosh's defense, calling the move troubling. It was deeply disturbing, wildly inappropriate, and needs to be investigated, Commissioner Betsy Kofia said. Residents who are now circulating a petition demanding Klaus resign called the move menacing and said it threatened freedom of speech. Gun owners are enraged because guns have to be used responsibly and respectfully and not in a public meeting, Traverse City Attorney Michael Naughton, who drafted the petition, told the paper. When someone responds with a firearm, it's a huge First Amendment speech issue, not a guns right issue, not a Second Amendment issue. So I came to this story the way I looked at the stories, because we've covered stories where children would take out like a gun, not a real gun, but a gun during their lessons. And we would talk about, well, what was the child's intent? The child was just playing. Obviously, there was no malice. Don't suspend the kid. Call the parents. Let them know we can't have this again. Bah, bah, bah. We all agree with that. In my opinion, I agree with this Kelly McIntosh. Though he did nothing illegal, clearly in my mind, the intent was to intimidate, because there's no reason at that point in the meeting to get up and brandish your gun. He wasn't holding the gun before this complaint. He wasn't holding the gun after the complaint. This woman complained, and he likes the Proud Boys, which he's allowed to do, and he showed this rifle. And it's for that reason I think this guy should resign, because now you have violated the trust of your position in government. You know... Again, going back to Detective Dave, beyond reproach. As a member of government, you are there to serve the people. Whether you agree with the policy or not a policy, I can't feel intimidated. If I have an issue, I want to be able to come to you. Now, you can say no and you can say yes, and that's all fine and good. But once I feel intimidated, we've broken down what we're trying to accomplish.
Now, this was a Zoom meeting, correct? It was a Zoom meeting, right?
Well, yes. I don't think they had Skype. I think it was Zoom. Yes, it was Zoom.
Okay, if he wants to take a gun out in the privacy of his own home, you know, I don't have a problem with that.
But you weren't complaining. But what was the intent? Like, if he had the gun the whole time, like, if he's holding the gun during the whole fucking meeting, I might be more apt to agree to your point. Go, all right, he's just fucking holding the gun. I don't know why he's holding the gun. He's been holding the gun the whole fucking time. He was holding the gun when they were talking about snow removal. He's holding the gun during this complaint. Nothing's fucking changed. But he changed his behavior as that woman was complaining about an uptick in gun violence. So that's why I'm assuming.
And I think that he took it out was just, you know, maybe he was misguided, but I think it was to show that he was for, you know, gun rights, and he also owned a gun.
But you can say that. You can say, but he didn't say anything, Joe. He was just using, in my opinion, he was just trying to use power. The power to cow this woman, intimidate her. He could have said, listen, I disagree with you. I don't think we're going to see an uptick in gun violence. I personally don't have an issue with the Proud Boys. He could have made all those points. Then we don't have an issue.
Well, he could have said that. I don't think he was doing it to show power. I think he was showing it to make a point. But the simple fact that he didn't explain it and left it up to judgment was his problem.
Yeah, but I mean... I can't give him the benefit of the doubt on that fucking point. Like I said, if he was holding the gun the whole time, you might sway me with the argument. Listen, he's a gun owner. He obviously likes guns. He obviously disagrees with this woman. Nothing changed from the whole time. I think he was making a point. I think his point was right. I think that's the point he was making. So I think he's... Listen, you can't have politicians threatening violence on the citizens. You just can't have that.
I don't... But the whole thing of threatening... You see, the assumption is made that he's threatening violence.
Yes.
from what my take on that is, he was, you know, he was showing his Second Amendment right to have a weapon. The problem is he didn't explain that. So it's up to interpretation of what he did. He's, you know, his impression is he's showing he's a gun owner and this is the gun that he owns. The woman was taking it as a threat because he didn't say anything against that. That's the problem, because it was up for interpretation. So that's a problem.
Then he's not very effective. I mean, it's a fucking Zoom meeting. Use your words. I mean, you know, we're not playing charades.
Well, the other thing is, in real life, when somebody lifts their shirt to show you that they have a gun stuffed into their pants, that is an implied threat that everybody understands.
It's a very valid point.
Everybody knows what that means. I'm showing you I've got a gun. You know what that means.
It's a valid point.
That there's no room for interpretation there. So even though it was over a Zoom meeting, number one, if he wasn't threatening her, he certainly, and if he was doing it because he had a little wisp of a smug look on his face, if he was doing it to prove a point to the woman, well, I don't agree with you, and here's the proof, and the other guy laughed because he thought it was funny too, then he was being really fucking insulting to one of his constituents.
Yeah, I just, you know, I mean, so, I mean, even in Joe's best case scenario, he still failed to communicate.
Well, that's the whole thing. And you know what? I mean, also, if you lift up your shirt and you have a gun, like if I lifted up my shirt, you know, and I went like this, and I had an assault rifle right here, you know, what am I? I'm a cartoon. The gun muzzle's going to come out of the computer screen, you know?
No, but Joe, you got to understand, these people live in the same community. So, you know, you might come across this person. I understand why this person was intimidated. Listen, I feel like he's lost the trust. I feel like he has to resign. And also, by the way, the Proud Boys were very respectful. Yeah, and the Nazis were snazzy dressers. That's not really a fucking defense of a group. Like, if you want to defend the Proud Boys, if that's your fucking thing, they were very polite, should not be the go-to. I'll tell you what. Say what you want about those Nazis, but they marched in a very straight line, and they were very punctual. I mean, it's just not a good defense.
Yeah. And by the way...
What the hell is that? Oh, yeah.
What is that?
It's a corkscrew. I don't have weapons.
Oh. Okay. Well, Pip's going to open up a bottle of wine. I hope you're scared.
But let the record show that I wagged it in an intimidating manner.
Yes, you're a wagger. All right. So I guess you feel he should stay in power, Joe?
I'm sorry?
You feel he should stay in office?
Yeah.
All right.
Just admonish him. He shouldn't have to resign.
I don't know how you can admonish him. What are you going to take away? Zoom rights? I don't know what you're going to fucking do to this guy. I think it's the only thing they can.
And reading the story, I think this woman totally overreacted. I think she overreacted about everything.
Well, yeah, but when I watched the video, I did feel like it was a power move by this guy. That was my take on it. Like, I don't know if I would have. I probably still would have felt that way if I'm being honest. But when I saw the video and I saw his face and the way he got up and got the gun, it definitely felt like he's trying to show this woman who's boss. Because you got to remember, he's also in a position of power. And especially you're coming on the heels of the Capitol riots where we just saw, you know, violence. You know, everybody's got to lower the temperature. I think this guy should go. Pip agrees, Joe doesn't. We move on. So this was Joe's blog, very enthusiastic blog, I might add. People in Washington State can literally push up daisies after their death as the first human composting efforts in the country recently began there, according to a new report. Two facilities in the Evergreen State received their first bodies for human composting, also known as natural organic reductions, last month. Herland Forest, a nonprofit research center in Klickitat County, is one of them. Walt Patrick, senior steward at the facility, told the station that natural organic reductions are an investment and it could take several weeks before the composting process is complete. The process begins with the body is placed in a Knorr cradle along with 200 gallons of wood chips, Patrick said. Bacteria, protozoa, and fungi are dispensed in the mixture to speed up the process. Oxygen is also added to keep it between 145 and 155 degrees, and Joe would say turn it down to 64. So, what do you do? doing? Who's paying for this? Relax, it's not you. All right, can I get a burger? No, you're not going to be here long. Solar panels provide extra heat as needed. The final result is 4 55-gallon drums full of usable compost, according to Patrick. The family of the deceased can decide to keep all of it or donate a portion of to Herland Forest to grow new trees in the cemetery. This is simply another option at a time when people feel they have no options, Patrick told the station. You know, death has intervened and changed your life forever. How can you do something at least to make it the way you want? Governor Jay Inslee signed legislation in 2019 legalizing human composting. Advocates say that composting uses less energy than cremation, calling it a greener alternative, according to the local report. Composting is now only legal way for Washingtonians to be laid to rest on their own property, though in the form of mulch, according to the outlet. Besides Herland Forest, the Seattle-based facility Recompose has also begun the process with 8 bodies so far, a spokesperson told the outlet. A total of 420 pre-composed members have made advance payments for their future in care, and the third facility is going to open. Joe is very enthusiastic about this.
Yes, yes. I like the idea. When I started, matter of fact, I'm going to start doing this at the workshop, trying to make a bit out of it. But what I did when I read about that, basically, I'm in a conundrum on what happens when it's curtains for me. You know, I don't know if I want to go in the ground in a box. I don't know if I want to be cremated. Also, another option is if you are cremated, you go into an urn. I don't want some klutz dropping me. A mausoleum scares me because what happens is it's above ground house. What happens, like, if there's a Martian war in the year 4020 and you blow the fucking thing up? Now I'm going to be lying in bones in the street. So I figured if I was made compost, I would leave it in my will where you compost me and then you put it in two places that I really would like to be. I want, first of all, half of me spread in the backyard of my old house, and then I want the other half of me spread into the woods of my new house.
Well, I don't think you really get control over the old house, Joe. I mean, that might have to be a sneak attack.
Yeah, you have somebody sneak me in at night and throw me in there.
Yeah, that's a lot of commitment to risk trespassing for dead you. I must be honest. Even live you people aren't running to help you. So I don't know how many people are going to rush to help dead you.
I'll take that chance, but by that time I'm going to be out running a pitchfork. So what do I give a shit?
Yes, and oddly enough, people can use a pitchfork to dig and use. So there'll be a lot of pitchforks in your future. See, I feel like Pip would probably like this too, because she's all into the gardening.
Very much like this idea. Very much. Right. Because, you know, a friend of me and Mr. Helix's runs a store in Nyack, New York, and it's called Dying to Bloom, where they have all different other ways, alternative ways to for things that you can do with your person after you're gone, and you know, like alternative ways of burials or types of caskets, or you know, are you turned into a tree? Are you turned into like your cremated remains turned into some kind of like, oh, here, a mug? I'm not drinking
a mug
of that, by the way.
A mug, number one, mom.
No, like a paperweight or kind of
a paperweight.
Kind of art.
Listen, we didn't think much of you while you were alive, but here's something even more useless than you were alive: a fucking paperweight. While we're at it, we're gonna make you into some shitty macaroni art. We're going to make you as useless and as distasteful as possible now that you're dead. Ugh, what a horrible example.
We're going to leave the window open, and it's a windy day. We don't want these papers flying around. Here's where Pip comes in. Not only the memory of the...
Turn me into some little objet d'art, and fine, I like that. But this, going back to the earth and being spread under like some shrubs and flowers grow there, that sounds beautiful. So, I love this idea.
So let me ask you a question. Are you eating carrots grown out of Grandpa?
I wouldn't care if it was done the way that this is described.
Well, no, they're spreading it over. Grandpa is fertilizing your veggies. So, would you eat potatoes from Papa? I mean, it's a valid question. You would.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I don't think I could. I don't think I could do that.
I totally could do that. It's just turned into dirt.
Yeah, like, but Joe, you know why she could... Joe, hold on. Let me. You know why she could do that, Joe? Because she's one of those liberal cannibals that QAnon was talking about. She don't give a shit.
you gotta think, if you're eating potatoes, you're also eating it from fertilizer, which is essentially cow shit.
So, Joe!
Potatoes that was cow shit?
Yeah, but Joe, I don't know the cow. I knew Grandpa.
All those little grass skulls. Oh, my God.
What happens if the dearly departed had bad body odor? Now I'm thinking my veggies are going to have an aftertaste or something. Too many
it's
issues.
It's burnt off.
By that time, there's no body odor. You're mulch now.
How do you know? You've never smelled mommy mulch. You have no idea. You're assuming.
Well, it's just what happens when you have, like, a dead body that they find in the woods and there's nothing but bones. You know, all the little vermin and creatures have gotten to it and did what they do, like with dead animals or whatever. So you don't know what dead animal died in the mulch that you put in your garden anyway. You're eating squirrels and old rabbits and whatever. So who cares if it's Grandpa? Grandpa's not in there anymore anyway. The minute you're gone, you're gone.
I'll tell you what, Pip. I know how we could turn Joe against this. He's very for this right now. We just tell Joe that this is part of AOC's new Green New Deal. Joe would be against this thing right now. Joe would be like, pour me, make me into cement. I want to be a plastic plate. I don't want any of this green energy.
Melt me and turn me into a styrofoam pup.
Yeah, I'll show that bitch.
Send a picture to AOC.
I was going to be cremated and turned into compost, but when it turns out it's your plan, styrofoam.
Styrofoam cup, and I just write on the caption, love you forever.
Ay, ay, ay. All right. Well, you know, I've volunteered to donate organs. I have misgivings about that. You know, I don't know.
Why?
But because, you know, I don't want to show up someplace and not have eyeballs. You know, listen.
Do you really think that any part of your body is going to go off with you into wherever it is that people go?
I don't know. Yeah, you don't know.
Because horrible things happen to bodies after people die. They decompose and everything. I'm sure that the people in the afterlife don't, like, turn into, like, crispy critters just because they're, you know, the worms are getting at them.
Listen, whatever happens...
After we're gone, has nothing to do with what happens afterwards. It's impossible.
If you're right, but if you're wrong, I'm going from cloud to cloud with a cane and my hand out with a tin cup because I can't see anything because I'm a blind guy in heaven.
Well, that's because I don't want to be cremated, because if I'm cremated and they come back from the dead, what am I going to do, live in an ashtray? I don't want that.
But you guys, your body is going to be turned into maggot food anyway, so wherever you go, your corporeal body is gone.
You don't know that.
You're done with.
You don't know that.
It doesn't exist after a certain amount of time.
You know
anyway.
What, Joe? You know what, Joe?
How could you bring it with you someplace else? I can show you,
Joe,
what form my father's in right now. I'm sure that he's not bodiless because I cremated him.
You know, Joe. You know what we're hearing. You know, these are the words from a satanic cannibal. That's what a satanic cannibal would say. QAnon was right.
That's what a satanic cannibal would say.
Bet she likes little children, too. They were right about you. Donald Trump, save us from Pippi Elix. I hope you have a plan, Donald Trump. She's in our midst on Zoom. Where's my gun? All right.
Where did I put that baby sauce?
So you guys,
where did I put it?
So you guys want this to come to New York State? You know, I think it's pretty cool. I don't know if I'd want it for me, but I think it's cool. I do. I could see this being the future, though. Like, I could see us doing this, like you know how they have the paupers' graves now. You know where they, you know.
Yes.
I could see them doing this with poor people because we're going to run out of space and everything. It is recyclable. I could see this happening, and it's not the worst thing in the world.
You know, I think it's great. It's just what they get you for a funeral. I remember when my mom passed away, and I'm going back 28 years. They mentioned putting a death notice in the paper, and the guy goes, "Oh yes, that's $300. $300? I might as well put my boat in there too. Holy cow! You know, it's just what they get you for all that stuff."
All right, so we are going to go long. That is undeniable. So the question is, do we want to do Bitches Be Crazy now and go even longer? Or do we just want to Take a break and go to scamming scammers and do bitches be crazy.
Take the break and go to scammers because I got to call the insurance company when we're done.
Yeah, I think we should do bitches be crazy next time. It'll keep.
Bitches still be crazy. All right, let me find the music I want to play then. So you guys,
all right.
you guys talk amongst yourselves.
Okay. So Joe, if you were to be able to pass down the ability for somebody to run and put part of your own brand of peat moss in the two different places, do you have somebody in mind? You don't have to name them, but do you have somebody in mind that you would ask to do this?
No. What are you doing after I'm dead?
Because I would go and do this for you if I outlive you.
All right.
Because also in the blog I wrote, I got nobody to handle my affairs.
I tell you, every once in a while I say, oh, did I forget to have children? Oh, my God. You know?
that's where the resort fee comes in. The last hotel that you stayed at that has a resort fee, they handle it. Okay. On the break. On the break. Oh, you can learn more about at deucemusic.com. I should have said that.